Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. College football postseason is here. You know what else is here? The Heisman presentation on Saturday night, and we are looking so forward to it. Once again, I'm going to open up my mic and welcome back to the program. That is Shay Raftus, our producer right here at SB Nation. And Shay, I'm telling you what, I mean, things are certainly looking pretty good for the Oklahoma Sooners to win back-to-back Heisman trophies. What say you? You think Kyler, he's going to win it all?
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of the sentiment for the majority of the year was, oh, this is Tua and everybody else, and there's a big gap, but I think a couple things have happened. One, Tua, you know, as great as he's been, you know, Alabama's just been so incredible that he hasn't played in fourth quarters. And then two, he did not, before he got hurt against Georgia and Hurts had to come in and save him in that SEC title game, he did not look good. He looked bad. And that was their biggest game of the year. And you don't want to overreact, but if we're really splitting hairs, because if you look at those two candidates and also Dwayne Haskins, all three of those guys stack up equally statistically, and he's the only one who played very poorly in his biggest game of the year. I think the way Kyler has carried this Oklahoma team, the big throws he had to make in that Big 12 championship game, multiple big-time third-down throws to close that game out as well, but just in general, he had to basically carry a very bad defense. There was no margin for error. At Alabama, there's margin for error. There's no margin for error for Kyler Murray, and to a lesser extent, Dwayne Haskins, although he has a little bit more margin for error to me. And that's why, to me, if I were ordering, I would go Kyler Murray 1, Dwayne Haskins 2, Tua 3. I think that's the order.
Wow. Do you think he'll come back next year?
Oh, he has to. He's a junior, so he has one more year of eligibility because he's got one more. The real question is, will Dwayne Haskins come back next year? I think he's leaning on going to the NFL, and I think Kyler's going to play baseball. So it might be that Kyler wins it this year, and then with those two guys gone, it's Tua's award to win next year.
You know, in hour one, we were talking about that with James Hale as far as Kyler. Should he perhaps reconsider? Is it a risky move? Should he be going to the NFL?
No, I think he's making the right choice playing baseball. He's a much higher pick. Remember, he's a smaller guy, a little bit, you know, the stature is worrisome. He's only played 1 year of college football, and he's got all that guaranteed money going to the A's. I think baseball's the right move for him.
Okay, you've been listening to Shay Raftus. Great way to kick off hour two right here at SB Nation Radio. Much more NFL news and notes and college football playoff conversation after this break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it's Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us, many different platforms. You can go to @eradiosports at Twitter. You can always email the show info@eradiosports.com. And Podcast Arena. com for all of our amazing guests. We always like to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation, our good friends and partners, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, the college football conversation continues. College football's postseason, it is here, and we're going to take a deep dive into it. So delighted to have with us for the first time the Director of Sports Operations for DraftKings. He is big league. That is Johnny Avello with us at SB Nation. Good evening, Johnny. What are you doing on a Friday night hanging out with the Big E?
Hanging out. Exactly right. That's what I'm doing. And thanks for the call, and thanks for having me on the show.
Well, listen, Johnny, we are looking so forward to the Final Four for the college football playoff. You've got Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Notre Dame. And what say you? I'm kind of feeling like perhaps this might be a year of an upset. What do you think?
I'm kind of feeling that way, too. You know, we opened up Alabama 14.5 point favorite over Oklahoma, which looks like a big number, but Alabama's just kind of had their way with everybody this year except for Georgia last week, and that, you know, game was a lot closer than it actually ended up. I don't know if Oklahoma's the team that's going to be the upset team. You know, maybe Notre Dame's a lot of talk of Notre Dame being not being as good as they as they're perceived to be, at least in the rankings, and they don't belong. I've heard you hear a lot of chatter like that. When you hear that type of chatter, that's the team you need to watch out for.
Hey, a lot of talk this year about Oklahoma's defense and just the struggles that they have had. They have struggled mightily, but they did hold Texas last week, Johnny, to 27 points. Could you anticipate perhaps some improvement there? We want this to be a game, right?
Well, I don't think that the viewers will mind if it's wide open, you know, shootout, which the total on this game is around 80, 81 points. So, you know, us bookmakers are anticipating a lot of scoring here. And, you know, with a guy like Kyler Murray, who's really been lighting it up, he loves to throw the football. You know, he's threw the ball probably 350 times this year and connected on 70% of his passes. I think he wants to put on a show.
Oklahoma has been an offensive juggernaut, and you just nailed it talking about Kyler. What are you looking forward to the most on Saturday night with the Heisman? Are you going to give him the nod that he's going to be the winner?
I don't know. This is a tough one.
Okay.
You know, Tua T was the favorite, and so in his last game against Georgia, he goes out early. Not a good performance, but that's his weakest performance of the year. And, you know, he didn't play a lot of fourth quarters this year, so if you want to just take his numbers and then look at and maybe add a little bit to fourth quarter play, he probably would have had as good in numbers as Kyler Murray has. He only threw four interceptions this year. And so I still give Tua. I think this is really close between the two of them. I mean, Haskins a great player and, you know, set a lot of Big Ten records this year, but I don't really think he's in the conversation. I think it's between Tua T and Murray, and I think it's a close vote, and I kind of give the edge to Tua T.
It's going to be interesting how it all plays out on Saturday night. We all will be watching. And right now you're listening, Johnny Avello. He is the Director of Sports Operations with DraftKings. And, Johnny, we'd like to pause, connect with our audience. Where can they go to find out more about DraftKings?
Well, you can go to DraftKings.com, and if you're in the New Jersey area, you can tie up to our mobile app and or bet at our resorts probably. And if you're in Mississippi, you can bet at the Scarlet Pearl. That's another one of the properties that we're running in the you know, retail sports space now. So that's how you connect with us.
Okay, so Johnny, what are your takeaways from the committee? They made their decision in terms of Oklahoma, since we're talking about OU, on their, you know, ability. They were able to get in. Did you have mixed emotions?
No, I didn't. I didn't know what else the committee could do. You know, you got a UCF team who was undefeated but didn't play the quality schedule. So who are you actually going to put in? Are you going to put a Georgia team in? That's a possibility, but I don't think you put a Georgia team in over Oklahoma. It was Notre Dame, the undefeated season. I think that's what kept them right there and unable to move them out of one of those top four positions. So I guess the answer is let's go to six teams.
And talk to us about, Notre Dame. How do you think this game is ultimately going to play out against Clemson? Of course, Clemson, the Tigers, winners of four consecutive ACC championships. They're stout.
This team's really coached well. I mean, when you look at the teams in, that are in college football playoffs every year, they're in there for a reason. Not only do they have great quality players, they got great coaches. So you have Dabo Sweeney, and he's building a program like Alabama and Oklahoma, and you know the Michigan teams. I mean, they're all with their coaching staffs. They're all putting themselves in that top five, top six every single year. Now, with that being said, Notre Dame has a way of really lifting up their game in these types of spots. They're an 11-point underdog here, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them not only keep it close, but possibly win this football game.
You know, a lot of attention on Clemson and Dabo Swinney, as you were just talking about. He has done an amazing job building an elite program, a consistent program. But, you know, head coach Brian Kelly, I mean, what an incredible year for him. At times, you know, throughout his coaching time at Notre Dame, I mean, he's been on the hot seat, but a lot of respect for what he has been able to accomplish. What stands out the most about what Brian Kelly has been able to do with the Fighting Irish?
Well, I think he's a good fit for the program. You know, if when you think about the Irish, you know, you feel that he belongs there. He has had some tough years, you know, the last few. Nothing always works out perfect for them. But, you know, when you look at it, maybe they don't recruit as well as a Clemson school. I mean, it's, you know, the standards to get an ND are real tough. So maybe they do miss a few players along the way. But you're right, he's done a great job, and this solidifies his job certainly for at least next year, right? I mean, you're only as good as
right.
last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Johnny Avello with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, of course, DraftKings. One more time, Johnny, reach out with our audience, or where can they go find out more about DraftKings?
Yeah, DraftKings.com. Look us up. You know, it's a company that big in fantasy football and now sports wagering, and we're continuing to grow and hope to see everybody on our roster.
Hey, Johnny, you think the best four teams made the college football playoff?
Best four teams in college football?
Sure.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Do I believe this is the best four?
Right.
No, I do not. Because if I, as an odds maker, Notre Dame would be a underdog to Michigan. They'd be an underdog to Georgia.
Okay.
So, you know, when you look at that, so the Ohio State, so are these the best four teams? Probably not. But with that being said, they're in it with a chance to win it.
So let's talk about now, let's transition. Talk to me about some of the bowl games and the matches. Is there one in particular that intrigues you the most, Johnny, that you've got your eye on? I think, you know, Texas-Georgia, that's going to be pretty cool.
That's a good game. I thought the committee did a real good job matching up the teams this year. You know, they matched up Syracuse with West Virginia, and, you know, I just think all around, I made a lot of games pick, like Arkansas State, Nevada, and so when I was making my odds, and when I make games around a pick'em or one-point favorite, I know they've done a good job matching up teams of at least equal talent the way I see it. There's a lot of great games out there, though. You know, some are a little boring at first.
Uh-huh.
You know, we start off, you get teams like BYU and Western Michigan, but it's a bowl game, and it leads up to the big one. It's almost like you start off with the lesser quality and you build up to the big ones at the on the 29th. And that's the way it's always been, and that's the way the action is actually booked. As we get into the bigger games, the money and the betting gets bigger.
Oh, it's a fun time of year, and we are looking forward to how it all plays out. We've been going one-on-one with the Director of Sports Operations with DraftKings. Check him out, DraftKings.com, Johnny Avello, first time on the show. Thank you so much, Johnny. Have a great weekend and happy holidays.
Thank you, and same to all the listeners.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here at the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. You can join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. Always email the show, info@eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. You know, each week we have such amazing guests that they drive our show. And I know many of you guys contact me. You're like, how can I go back and listen to that interview? Go to podcastarena.com. All of our hosts from our network are there and many of our interviews. And also we got to take time to thank the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation. That is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised, it is time to go inside the NFL. And if you're a Patriot fan, hey, you don't want to miss our next interview. We have a very special book review on the Dynasty. We're going to take a deep dive into talking about the New England Patriots. And we are so delighted to have with us tonight, he is the co-author of the brand new book that's just been released, a definitive, lively, and robust history of the New England Patriots, from Billy Sullivan to Bill Belichick and everything in between. The Pats, it's an illustrated history of the New England Patriots, and we are so honored to have with us on the program here at the network for the first time, that is the co-author, Richard Johnson. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's Friday night. We're always ready for the weekend, and we are very excited about taking a deep dive into your book, because I know our listeners are going to love hearing all about it. But first of all, let's say it is week 14 of the NFL season. I can't believe that. And right now, the Patriots, they are first in the AFC East, and they face the Dolphins. They're going to be on the road this weekend. They'll be down in Miami. And are you feeling a little anxious or some trepidation? Because they've not always been so successful when they face Miami in the month of December.
No, it's true. It's been sort of a jinx game for them.
And, yeah.
They certainly are looking at trying to secure a bye as well as home field for, you know, AFC playoffs. So, you know, this is, I'm sure, you know, in a typical Belichickian fashion, these guys are priming for this game. Maybe not quite the importance of a playoff game, but they realize that if they don't win down there, they may have to be playing playoff games on the road, which is not a Patriot forte. Not what they want. So,
yeah.
And in terms of the team this year, and really for the past few years, as I've said to people, we don't just enjoy Brady's every game; we enjoy every snap.
Yeah,
I mean that's how important he is, and how amazing this sustained run of excellence has been.
Absolutely. So tell us this, because we're going to take a deep dive talking about Brady and just what he has meant to this franchise, to this organization. Why have the Patriots, why have they struggled in Miami this time of year? Because what, their last 4 to 5 games, what they've lost in Miami, is that right? I couldn't believe that stat when I saw it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I really don't know what the reason is, other than the fact that I think the Dolphins enjoy being spoilers. I mean, you know, certainly there's a lot of history between those two teams. I certainly remember Squish the Fish back in 1985.
Oh, my gosh, going way back.
Where we broke the curse of the Orange Bowl.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Orange Bowl's long gone. But, no, it's always been a tough game. You know, it's one where you look at the schedule each year, and they always play a December game down there, and it's never an easy game. Always tough.
Author Richard Johnson with us tonight here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He teamed up with his co-author, Glenn Stout, and the title of the book is The Pats, An Illustrated History of the New England Patriots. So let's transition. Let's shine the spotlight on your new book. So much has been chronicled throughout the years on the New England Patriots. How much of a challenge was this for you to come up with fresh material? Was it a complicated process for you, Richard?
Well, there had never really been a one-volume comprehensive history of the team done before. So, you know, and the research one does in a book like this always starts with the newspapers. It's always, you know, the effort is made to go back through microfilm and scrapbooks and find the gems that are certainly out there, and that was certainly the case here. So, and unlike some of the other histories that we'd worked on in book form of, you know, we had done the Red Sox, the Yankees, Dodgers, and the Cubs, you know, there wasn't as much history. There are only about 58 years worth of history, but I can't think of a more sort of colorful, star-crossed, and now successful team. I mean, their history runs the gamut from ineptitude to woulda, coulda, shoulda, to now, you know, there's almost an expectation on the part of Patriot fans for them to win every year. I still find it a little hard to believe. I've been 50,
I've been following the team for 53 years as a fan, and I think we've got a little spoiled now. But, no, it, you know, the newspaper coverage of the team is exhaustive because it's not just the Boston papers, but it's papers in New Bedford, Manchester, New Hampshire, Salem, Mass, Quincy, Mass, you know. So that really became the bedrock for the research that was done to create this volume.
You know, Richard, you and Glenn, when you teamed up on this project, you have a title as an illustrated history of the New England Patriots, but it really is a narrative history, right?
It's a narrative history. It's really the most comprehensive, complete one-volume history of the team. So we don't want folks thinking this is just a picture book, you
right.
know, that you put on a coffee table and you flip through every so often. It's really a book to put by the bedside to read because the text, you know, is pretty exhaustive, and it tells a very compelling story of a team that, you know, joined the American Football League for a very modest initiation fee of $25,000 back in 1959. Compare that with the $650 million that the owners in Seattle just had to pony up to join the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how times have changed. But, you know, through several ownerships, many stadiums, you know, in their first 10 years, they played in half a dozen stadiums for home games in three states. I can't think of another major league team in any sport that's ever had to go through that run.
What was the goal in terms of what were some of the questions that you wanted to get answered with this very, complicated history, I should say?
Well, it's really can boil it down to why did they win when they won? Why did they lose when they lost? And then why do we care so much about them? You know, why are they such an important team? Of course, they have now achieved dynastic status, which to those of us who remember the very humble years of the team was almost unimaginable. Now they are talked about in the same terms of great football dynasties as the Steelers, the Niners, the Browns, back in the Paul Brown era, the Packers, they're in very select company.
And, of course, inside the book, there are never-seen-before photographs. Tell us about that process. How were you able to secure those? That had to be a bit of a challenge.
Well, you know, we wanted to make sure that we did the best job possible in finding images that, for the most part, had never been printed in book form before. So one of the things that we were very glad to learn when we began work on this was that we'd be printing color, because we'd never printed color inside one of our sports history books before. So that gave me the green light to approach cartoonist Phil Bissell. Phil, going strong at age 93, was the artist who created Pat Patriot.
Oh.
Actually was originally a sports cartoon in the Boston Globe. He, as part of the deal for using his Pat, he calls him his third son, actually, which I think is kind of cute.
Uh-huh.
He had a handshake deal to draw the program covers for the team for their first 10 years. And so we reproduced many of those in color in a six-page spread within the book. And he wrote a brief essay about his history with the team. And I can't think of another team that ever had a cartoonist be central to creating the image.
Wow.
That they, you know, that they had the logo and everything. And then apart from that, it was basically going to every source I could find, including eBay, looking for great pictures, especially from their early history, where it was a little harder to find things. As we moved on, of course, we used the images from the Getty Wire a service to illustrate the book. We used about 100 images from them, but you know, the early stuff, we really had to look for it. There were some images at the Sports Museum where I serve as curator in Boston. So in all about 200, and I think most of them are ones you might not have seen before.
The New England Patriots, they are a fascinating dynasty. You want to definitely go out and get a copy of this book. Of course, the holidays are here. It is titled The Pats, An Illustrated History of the New England Patriots. We have been going one-on-one with the co-author who teamed up with Glenn Stout. We've been visiting with Richard A. Johnson. Congratulations, and we look forward to another conversation real soon. Thank you so much, Richard.
And thank you.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at the Next Generation of Sports Radio. That is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Happy holidays. So glad you're with us on this Friday night at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. As always, we've got to take time to pause and thank the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Of course, think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, it is time to go inside the ropes and visit with former PGA Tour player and author, the great Larry Miller, as we are going to take time to celebrate the life of George H.W. Bush. And also, we're going to take time to recap the Hero World Challenge this evening. So it's nice to have you back with us, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's great to be back, and good evening to everybody out there.
Well, our listeners are always anxious to hear from Larry Miller, and I think we're going to lead things off tonight, as I just mentioned in the open, to take time to just pause and honor President Bush, as there were a contingent of golfers led by Jack Nicklaus in attendance for the memorial services for former President George H.W. Bush. Phil Mickelson was there, Freddie Couples, Brad Faxon. A lot of love to celebrate the legacy and the life of just all that he meant to the game of golf and to so many.
Well, he had a deep connection to the game. Even in his lineage, you know, his father was an avid scratch golfer. His grandfather on his paternal side, it was his maternal grandfather. Actually, the Walker Cup is named after him.
Yes,
and he was that. Both of those were presidents of the USGA. His father and his maternal grandfather. So that's a pretty strong connection to the game, and if you can go back and look at a lot of the photos through the years, I mean, he played golf with all the greats, you know, Jack Nicklaus and Arnold. He was very close with Arnold Palmer and Tiger Woods. President Bush was elected to the World Golf Hall of Fame, only the second U.S. president to have that honor, along with Eisenhower.
Okay.
President Eisenhower. So, and he loved the game. And I saw where, you know, in the eulogy, his son, George Bush, mm-hmm. He told a few humorous, you know, anecdotes about his dad in golf.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he said he had a horrible short game. He loved the game, but he had a horrible short game. And he said, and I'm afraid that he passed that genetic fault on to us.
Yeah, that was great.
So he had a great sense of humor. But he loved the game. And I'll tell you, he really reflected all of the virtues of the game of golf. He was a personification of the integrity, the character, and just the love of the game. And it was a wonderful connection for golf and for him. And you know, most presidents have played the game quite a bit. And so very deep connection. And it's a big, big loss for our country. For his family, for the game of golf, and for everybody in this country, he was a great man, a great president, he's going to be missed for sure.
You're listening to the familiar voice, Larry Miller, back with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Each week, we go inside the ropes with former PGA Tour player Larry Miller, and it's so interesting, you know, learning more about President Bush, and that, you know, as you were just sharing, his golf roots they ran very deep. As you'd mentioned, his maternal grandfather, George Herbert Walker, was the former USGA president, very instrumental in founding the Walker Cup, and you know, just for overall with his family, as you reflect on that, I mean, they were major figures, Larry, in the development of golf in the 20th century. And it meant a lot to him. It meant a lot to his family. And he really did have an impact with the sport. And I think that's truly one of the reasons why he was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2011.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that one reason that he loved the game so much was because it did. The game does embody all of those virtues that I just talked about. I mean, it teaches, just think of the lessons golf teaches. It teaches respect and courtesy and character and integrity and self-discipline, controlling emotions. It's almost a, golf has been called a microcosm of life itself by Michael Murphy in Golf in the Kingdom. He had some great insights into the game. And although he did at one point say that the game could be a dark night of the soul in broad daylight.
That's so true.
It does have that capability, but no, but the joking aside, no, really, I think that's why he loved the game so much, because it was the way he wanted to live his life and the way he wanted to teach others that's the way life should be lived, with those virtues. And so that's what makes one of the things that makes our game so wonderful is that I wrote in one of my books one time, I think in my first book, I asked a question. I said, let me ask you, have you ever seen a 12, 13, 14-year-old child that's an avid golfer that gets in trouble? No, you don't. You just don't see
it. Yeah.
Because they learn, when they start playing this game, they learn from an early age, early on, all of those things. And so it's a wonderful thing to introduce a youngster to. And anybody out there listening, if you've got a child or a grandchild, a nephew or niece, introduce them to the game if you play. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give.
As we celebrate tonight the life, the legacy of the 41st president, that, of course, George H.W. Bush, what kind of player was he on the course? I mean, can you kind of shed some light on that? I heard he was committed to fast play, Larry.
Yeah, he was, renowned for playing in, 3 hours, 18 holes.
That's my kind of guy.
And I think it was Davis Love that said, because he used to play with him quite a bit, I think Davis Love said he would step up, put the club behind it, and it was gone. I mean, there was no waggling, no fiddling around or throwing grass up in the air.
Right.
He wanted to get it down the fairway and get it in the hole as quick as he could. Yeah, he played really fast. And, that's the way the game should be played. You go over to Scotland and play, and you better not lag behind. They'll put you off the golf course. I remember one time on the old course at St. Andrews, I brought a friend over there. Actually, it was James Redfield, Celestine Prophecy author.
Sure, sure.
And James is an extremely slow player. And I warned him before we went. I said, James, you're going to have to pick it up. You can't play slow. They're going to warn you. And if you don't pick it up, they'll put you off. Well, sure enough, on the third hole, here comes the marshal. And he says, sir, he was watching it. And he said, sir, you're going to have to play a little faster than that. We got to get through here in less than 4 hours. So I told James, I said, see, I told you. And the marshal told him, he said, the next time I come out, he said, I'm not going to warn you. You're going to have to leave the course. So they're serious about it. And it's, too bad we don't get that way over here, because over here, now we're getting 5 and 6 hour rounds. And it's really ruining the game, in my opinion. It's one of the things the USGA needs to take a hard look at.
Well, I was going to say, let me jump in here, Larry. In 2019, there's some rule changes that will take place. Do you think perhaps that will impact pace of play? Because it is very frustrating when you're out there and you're trying to get done in 4.5 hours and it's taken 6.
No, and that's one of my gripes I don't see any of the rule changes making any difference. They're talking about leaving the flag in,
right,
if you're putting, so you don't have to lay it down, pick it up, put it back in. That's not a serious attempt to speed up play. They need to take more drastic measures than that. It has to start, too, at the top on the tour. They have to stop just warning these guys and penalizing them when they play slow, because the tour is getting to be 6 hours on the PGA Tour, 5.5, 6 hours. And nobody likes that. The players don't like it. The fans don't like it. The only people that like it is television, because they get more commercials in. But it's not good for the game. It takes too long, and it's frustrating. And if a businessman takes off to play golf now, it's a whole day affair instead of a half day. And so they need to do something. They need to start enforcing slow play. The European Tour tried out the shot clock, and it worked just fine.
That's right.
It worked great.
Uh-huh.
It cut almost 1 hour off the time of play for 18 holes, and all the players were raving about it. Well, PGA Tour is just not, they're not stepping up and following the lead of that for some reason. I think it has to do with television. But anyway, they need to take a hard look at speeding up play. And I think the rule changes, none of these rule changes are going to have any drastic effect on that.
Of all the rule changes that are taking place in 2019, is there some that you are excited about that you are willing to embrace?
Well, you know, the thing about the way you drop a ball, that's almost inconsequential. Leaving the flag in, you know, how many people are going to do that? Most of the pros want the flag out when they're chipping or putting because they're trying to chip it in and they
True.
Don't want the ball bouncing off the flag stick. The things I'd like to see them change are some of the inequities in the rules. For instance, spike marks. You know, I think you should be able to fix spike marks that are in your line, at least tap them down. If you can fix ball marks, why not spike marks? You know, you didn't cause the spike mark to be there, and it can seriously affect the roll of a putt. The other bad rule is that if you hit into a sand bunker that's filled with water, the only option you have is to drop the ball either in the bunker, you know, where there's no water, which means up against the lip, and it's going to bury in the lip, or you have to drop it out of the bunker with a shot penalty. And I think if a bunker is filled with casual water from rainwater, that you should be able to drop it out with no penalty.
Absolutely.
Because it's not your fault that it rained. So that's a couple of things I'd like to see changed as far as the rules are concerned.
Hey, just a few more minutes tonight. Larry Miller, Inside the Ropes, former PGA Tour player and author of several books. His latest, What He Never Told the World, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental. You can go to Amazon.com. Christmas just around the corner. The holidays are here. What a perfect gift. I wanted to ask you while you're on the program tonight, talk to us about, let's reflect on the Hero World Challenge. John Rahm comes out on top and he fires a bogey-free 7-under, 65, in the final round. This guy, he can get hot real quick. He's dangerous.
Well, you know, funny you say that, play on words, and that's exactly why he's playing so much better now, because he doesn't get hot. And
okay, yeah. We're talking
two different hots here.
There you go.
he has been famous for his temper, his quick temper, and getting angry over bad shots or missed putts. It seems he's beginning to conquer that problem, and so he's starting to win. But yes, he is hot in the sense that he is playing some great golf and shooting low scores, and he's another one of those birdie machines like Tony Finau. So if he continues to control his emotions the way he seems to be doing right now, and he talks about that in an interview in Golf Digest, but if he continues to control that, you're going to see a lot of wins from this guy because he is super talented, right on through the bag. He's got all the shots.
You know, he's very interesting in terms of his background. When he moved from Spain to America, played college golf at Arizona State, and for Phil Mickelson's brother when Tim Mickelson was the head coach at the time. So he's a young gun, as you were just talking about, only 24 years of age, and really has developed into a major force on the PGA Tour. I'm going to be really interested, Larry, to see just how his season plays out this year. I think some great things are ahead for all of us to watch.
I think so, too. I think he's going to have a great year. He's like I said, he's super talented with everything in the game, and it's just a matter of keeping an even keel on the course, you know, not getting too excited over success and not getting too upset over little failures. Yet that's the way you have to be a champion golfer. You have to have an even keel and control your emotions.
Who are some of the, I would say, rookies that you have your eye on coming up here in 2019 as we turn the calendar?
The big one is Sam Burns to me.
Okay.
Came out of LSU here in Louisiana.
There you go.
The guy's a unbelievable player. And this guy, Cameron Champ, and how about that name for a Hollywood stage name?
C-squared.
Cameron Champ.
Yeah.
But this guy's driving average on the web.com was 343 yards, his average. He hits it. They say that he's 20 yards longer than Dustin Johnson.
Wow.
And he hits it straight. And the prediction, all the predictions are, this guy is your next superstar in golf. If you do take a look at the new Golf Digest or Golf Magazine, I forget which one of the two, there's a sequence shot of his golf swing. And take a look at that golf swing and look at the lag that he maintains on the downswing, and you'll see why he hits it 350 yards. But he and Sam Burns are the two I say watch. You're going to see some victories by both of those guys.
Hey, we are Inside the Ropes with Larry Miller right here, SB Nation Radio. We've got to step aside. Much more coming your way in Hour 2 of the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin Larry Miller and go inside the ropes. It's going to be an exciting year, 2019. Larry Miller with us tonight, Inside the Ropes, former PGA Tour player. And of course, as I just mentioned, his book, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. My final question for you, Larry, I want to go back to talking about President Bush. Why do most presidents, this is my final question, why do most presidents play golf? Because it's got to be more popular with all American presidents. I mean, Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, all of them. You know, Trump, I mean, goodness, he owns like 17 courses.
Right. I think that it's the stress factor. That job is so stressful, and the golf course is the antithesis of that. It's out in nature in a peaceful setting, mm-hmm. beautiful, peaceful setting, and you're not bothered by, things that you're dealing with back in the office. And it's just a really tremendous getaway from stress and the toil of everyday life. And so I think that's one reason that they do. And I think the other reason is they love the game. It's a popular sport. And, it's something that they can do. And these guys, when they play, I've played with a couple of vice presidents, and I did play with President Ford when he was president.
Okay. Nice.
I played in the pro-am with him in Houston at the Woodlands.
Okay.
And they just, they love the camaraderie of the game, and they can play it without being bothered, and they can, it's amazing how, like when I played with President Ford, he's like an everyday guy out mm-hmm. there on the golf course. That's a great thing about golf. You can get on the first tee and join up with a heart surgeon, a bank president, a janitor, and you know what? Everybody's got something in common, love of the game. And I think that's one of the big reasons, too.
Oh, throughout the years, we've met the most amazing people on the golf course. And, of course, Larry Miller with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're up against a break. Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, had a great time. I look forward to next week, and have a great week.
That, of course, was Larry Miller, former PGA Tour player, Inside the Ropes, joins us each and every week. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests in our lineup and also our producer, Shay Raftus, who joins us each week right here at SB Nation. As a reminder, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. And join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. So long, everybody.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.